This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready. All right, and welcome to another episode of the What is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you first and foremost for, again, you know, taking whatever time out of your day to come chill and talk with me, you know, whatever it is we talk about here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate that. The podcast is growing, the show is growing, and yeah, I appreciate everybody who takes a second of their day to just press play, you know. Podcasting, to me, is one of the few ventures you can take where my success doesn't require you to spend a dime. I just need a little bit of your time. So for those of you out there to give me a little bit of that time, I do sincerely greatly appreciate it. Let's see. What am I drinking today? Today, I decided to do some hot tea out of the dopeness. Can I pronounce it correctly? Dopeness. It's not a word, but out of my dopeness mug. That is Negroni. Negroni from August Uncommon Teas. I get a lot of my teas from there. That one is dope. It's got like an orange, I guess they say it's an orange marmalade flavor. I never had marmalade before, so I couldn't tell you, but it's pretty good. I enjoy it. Not sure if I'm a fan of the name Negroni, but I guess it's like an Italian cocktail or something like that. But you know, it's not a cocktail. This is just tea when it's for me, but felt appropriate tonight, so that's what I'm sipping on. Let me get one more. I don't know. I think like at the front of everybody's minds right now is the Russia-Ukraine situation, and just want to take a moment to, you know, send my thoughts and prayers out to, you know, the Ukrainian citizens that are being affected by this right now and people that are losing their lives. This is, you know, with everything else that was going on, like, we really needed, you know, just one more thing, you know. And I don't even follow politics. Just for me, you know, this sounds like the closest that we've ever been to like World War III in my lifetime. And it's crazy. Like, just as we were getting to the point where either we were, you know, getting past the COVID thing or getting used to life with COVID, it's like, bow, you know, people is making nuclear threats and I don't know, alerting their people to get the shit ready and stuff like that. So it's crazy. We don't even get a break, but as tough as it is for me mentally over here, having to deal with the, you know, the possibility of some shit happening, I'm told to get drafted, so I ain't got to worry about that anymore. But there are people that are dealing with the reality of it happening to them in this moment. So, you know, hopefully this can somehow come to some sort of peaceful end. I'm praying for it. We'll see what happens. Man, let's see. I do want to, I like to start the show, you know, I hate to segue from something like that, that real into something this stupid, but, you know, I like to start the show, you know, with the guest ethnicity. Let me see if I can get the shit queued up. I'm never ready. I like to start with this, you know, America's greatest game show. You know the rules. I give you a headline, and then you have to try to decide if you can guess the ethnicity of the perpetrator based on just, you know, random facts about the story. Funny thing is, though, I actually thought this was like an original idea. I was proud of myself for this. Like, when I started the podcast, back when I had a co-host, doing these was, you know, like, this was going to be my thing. Like, I was going to do the guess the ethnicity. I thought it was good for, like, cultural exchange and like having the conversation about stereotypes and why we think certain things and just being honest with, you know, one another about the fact that we do think these things, we have these biases. And if we discuss them openly, you know, with maybe some levity, we can get past them. Little did I know, Charlamagne and God have been doing this for mad years. I didn't realize it till like last week. And then I immediately went into, oh, somebody stole my idea, until I did, you know, the smallest amount of research and realized he'd been doing it for a long, long time. I know I saw stuff at least going back to 2017. So I probably stole this from him. Not that I'm not from New York, so I don't think I was on the Breakfast Club back then, but subconsciously, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I saw that people actually even petitioned to try to get the segment taken off the show, which made me think, you know, maybe I need to learn from what happened to somebody else. But I don't know. When have I ever done that? Let's see. For this week's headline, this was a crazy one. He wanted a crossbow, was wearing stretchy pants. That was the total headline. He wanted a crossbow and was wearing stretchy pants. So anyway, this gentleman that's been, I will tell you that, is a man. I said he already. But anyway, he's been dubbed the world's dumbest criminal. Basically, he went into a store with I guess like some sweatpants, or they call them stretchy pants or whatever. And he's caught on tape stuffing a crossbow down his pants. Like, seriously, a crossbow. Like, I just, that's a special level of like insanity or don't give a fuck, because that's a crossbow in your pants. Like, I don't think I need to go any further, as you know, not just that you're stealing, but you're putting a weapon in your pants, a crossbow. Like, I think even if it's not loaded with an arrow or whatever you call what you put in the crossbows, they call them bolts or something like that. Just the action, the movement of that thing triggering or firing. Like, I that's not something I want to stuff in my pants. It wasn't designed to do it. Why would you? Well, whatever. This guy, this guy did it. He stuffed the thing down his pants, and he came into the store with a crutch to kind of hide the fact that he was walking funny. I still don't understand how that's a different kind of walking funny. I've seen people in a crutch. I don't think I've ever seen anybody with a crossbow in their pants. I would imagine there's a difference in the way that they walk. But somehow, some way, he got out the store like this. He got out of the store with the crossbow in his pants just from walking with a crutch. They eventually caught him because he's on tape. He's on footage. This crime wasn't well thought out. He wasn't looking to see where the cameras were or anything. And he's clearly on camera, stealing a crossbow, stuffing it down his stretchy pants. So they caught up with him. Let's see, according to the jail records, he was in a considerable amount of debt, has a bond of about $8,000. I don't see any sentencing information on this so far. But yeah, a man went into a store with sweatpants on, I guess. I don't know why they keep calling them stretchy pants. There's a word for that. Sweatpants on, stuffed a crossbow down his sweatpants, walked out with a crutch to explain the limp, and made it out the store. This actually happened. It's a $1,300 weapon. That's crazy. But that's your guess, the ethnicity for now. We'll come back to that, take some time, ponder it over, see if you can, you know, come up with what you think would be the ethnicity of the perpetrator of this crime. And then maybe have some discussions with yourself about why you came to that conclusion. There we go. Guess the ethnicity. So let's segue into the other most important part of the show, is my Chefy Lease update. I got to switch sounds around. Here we go. Chefy Lease update. I am the pappy. I will say this. I am a proud soccer dad now. That's not the right one. That's not the right one. We're going to get there eventually. Like I was saying, I am a proud soccer dad now. Chefy Lease had her first soccer practice, I think last Tuesday. So I made it out there to see her, you know, get into this whole soccer thing. I was proud of her. I was proud of her mostly because, like, she didn't go out there. I thought she was going to go out there and, like, chase butterflies or something and, like, not pay attention and be off doing her own thing. She has a, I don't know, she has a tendency to do that kind of stuff. Pretend like she's not listening to you. I remember when she was a couple years younger. I want to say really little, but how much smaller than six can you get? But a couple years ago, I think she was in, like, a gymnastics class. And the whole time we were there, you know, we were looking at her and she's not paying attention. She's off, you know, on the other side of the room or in the corner or something. Like, the kind of stuff to make you, like, wonder if your child's on the spectrum or not. And she was just doing her own thing while the teacher was taking the rest of the class through little drills and stuff like that. And then as soon as it was break time and everybody else got to, you know, sit down and have a break, she went and did all the drills that the class had been doing while she was, you know, staring off in the distance. So she was paying attention, but she just can't do it when you tell her to do it. She's very much my daughter. But yeah, that was cool to be at soccer practice with her. And she had a little moment. She started feeling herself. I think she came very close to scoring a goal in practice. And then, you know, afterward, I'm over there, you know, talking with her and trying to get her to dribble the ball with her feet, not pick it up. And so, you know, I'm kicking it to her and she's kicking it back and she booted it off into the distance. And she had like a Kung Fu Panda moment. She was just like, I'm good. And, don't want to steal that from her, but pace yourself, Chef Elise. It's a long season. But, yeah, she's supposed to have a game this weekend. That got canceled because Texas is experiencing, you know, what we consider winter. I guess there was a threat of, like, possibly freezing rain. So they canceled the game. I can't say I'm disappointed. I wasn't necessarily in the mood to, like, get up on a Saturday and go to this game. That sounds horrible. But I'm going this week. It'll be a game this week. I'm going this week, whether I want to or not. I got to cheer on. You know, my little soccer player, number 9. That's her new lucky number. But, yeah, I don't know. They don't keep score. It's just like a bunch of kids just running in one direction and they're running in another direction. You know, whatever. It's the beginning of something. You build to that kind of stuff. I had more bad dad moments than that during our visit. You know, see, the cool thing about her is that she wants to be around me. She wants to, you know, it doesn't matter, like, how much, you know, I haven't been interacting with her. Cause I try to fill these visits with, like, activities and stuff. And I didn't plan as much stuff as I normally plan. Cause we were supposed to go have a soccer game on Saturday. And I figured that would take up some time. Chad was going to meet me out there. We may, you know, have hung out afterwards, got something to eat. It was going to fill up a lot of the days. So I hadn't planned a whole bunch of stuff for us to do. And then the game got canceled. So Saturday comes and it was just a lazy Saturday. It is cold and rainy outside. So, you know, where are we going to go? And so she spent a lot of time, like, just doing her own thing. And eventually I went up to chill with her or whatever. Then she's just excited, you know, not like, oh, dad, you know, you haven't been paying me attention. It's been like, oh, dad's here. Like, you know, you got to check this out, dad. Like, she's just so excited. I was going up there feeling real bad. Like, oh, shit, I haven't really done anything with her today. And then as soon as she saw me, she's like, hey, dad, you got to check this out. So she got me sitting here watching these videos she watches on YouTube. And they're like the dumbest, like, I'm sorry. They're horrible. They're horrible. And I was sitting up here with her, and it was getting close to bedtime, and like, I can barely keep my eyes open. Like, she's trying to get me to watch these things, and I gotta watch. Like, I can't look down or look off to the side. Like, dad, you're not looking. Dad, you gotta look. Watch this part. Every part's the best part. And I'm like, I'm literally like fighting sleep. Like, you know, back in high school in a class you didn't give a shit about. Like, I can't keep my eyes open. And eventually, you know, I set a goal in my mind, like, if I can make it through this episode, then that's it. We call it the night. It's bedtime. I'm exhausted. I need to go get some rest. And so that happened, and she was cool with it. And so I went from, like, I can barely open my eyes, so I go downstairs, and, you know, I just bought a PS5. So I just turned it on to just, you know, like you spend that kind of money on something, you want to use it. And I went from I can barely keep my eyes open to staying up to 5 a.m. playing a game I had already played on another set. Like, it wasn't even like it was, I'm having a new experience. I'm having the same experience I already had. But now all of a sudden I got energy and attention for several hours to do this when I could barely sit up there and watch nonsensical videos with my daughter. So I feel bad about that. And the way it goes, like, karma immediately got me back. It got me back in two ways. Chefy Lee's got me back. One, I bought her this new, like, body wash. I got her some strawberry vanilla scented body wash. And it comes in a little bottle that looks like strawberry. I thought, you know, she would love it. It's going to make bath time fun. And she did love it. She loved it so much, she used the entire bottle in one shower. The entire bottle. Like, I'm not saying I broke the bank playing, you know, buying a body wash, but it wasn't like Suave. Like, I could have got just some regular, I don't give a fuck body wash, 99 cents, use the whole bottle. It don't bother me. But she used the whole bottle in the shower. And she's six. I'm not trying to like be in there monitoring her shower stuff. That's weird. But now I don't know what to do. But then the other way, the karma got me back. And this is, and y'all don't judge me for this one. Don't judge me. I'm downstairs doing my 5 hour or however many hours I was playing this game. And little did I know, there was one of the ops was down there waiting on me, waiting to have a battle with your boy. And I'm sitting there and out of nowhere, here comes a Palmetto bug. I'm going to call them Palmetto bugs because that's what they call them here in Texas. And I'm not really trying to identify with the other situation. But shit got crazy. It got crazy fast. My heart nearly leapt out of my chest. How close it was to me when I discovered it was the thing. Like, it was right there. It was right there. And because I'm not a bug person. I could have made some sounds that would not have been the kind of things I wanted my daughter to hear come out of me. But luckily I didn't. I did like hop up and make some moves, but nothing audible. And to people in Texas, because people in Texas, since I've been here, have tried to play it off like these things are normal, nothing to trip off of. They call them Palmetto bugs to make it seem, I don't know, cooler. They call them tree roaches or whatever, like whatever words you put in front of it, it don't change the thing. And they try to play it like, you know, they live in the trees. When it gets cold outside, when it gets hot outside, they're looking for, you know, someplace warm, someplace cold to be. They're gonna come in, blah blah blah. It's no big deal. Everybody deals with them, whatever. But they don't understand where I come from. It's two kinds of people. It's broke people, and it's broke people with roaches. And you don't want to be the second one. Like, you know, everybody's broke. That's cool. But, you know, you don't want that. And I think everybody has them. It's just like, how well are you keeping shit under control? Because, you know, you live in apartments and high rises and stuff like that. If somebody got them, everybody got them. And, hold on. But you know, it's not something that we just like, oh no, you whatever, it's a Palmetto bug. No, it's never cool. Never gonna be cool. I'm not cool with it. So yeah, I had to hop up and make some moves. I did the whole thing. Like I'm sure we all do this. Like, you start having conversations with people that's not there, even if they just in your head, like, cause you gotta plan out how you're gonna do this. Normally you see it and then it darts someplace and you're trying to, because there's no way I was going to sleep. Like, two of us was not going to be in that house, you know, for that night. Somebody had to go. Somebody had to die. That's what it was. That's where we were at. And so, you know, you see a dart over someplace and you got strategy. You start, you know, making makeshift weapons. You look for whatever you got, you know, that you could try to turn into a weapon, kill this thing. And then you do the whole, like, you know, almost like a 1-2-3. Like, you gotta double dutch your way into it, because you know when you make your move, it's gonna make a move, and you gotta be ready for that move. If your first move don't work, everything turned out okay. I got it, flushed it. I'm in the habit of flushing because I think we've all had a moment where you think you killed something and you might take a victory lap. You come back and it ain't there no more. That shit is the worst. It's the absolute worst. But let me end that story about palmetto bugs. I'm just saying, people, don't judge me. It's normal here in Texas, apparently. But yeah, the last thing I got for this week, really the theme of this episode. I went outside to a party. It was the same day as Elise's soccer practice. After soccer practice, I went downtown Austin to a hostel and saw Talib Kweli do a DJ set. It's one of the first times I've been out someplace to do something since all of this, you know, stuff has happened. Let's get rid of the, we don't need that no more. Since all of this stuff has happened, and it felt good to get out and stretch my legs. But I immediately became super annoyed, and I got questions, man. I got questions. One, I know this is Austin, and I know the demographic that sometimes, I don't know, steers toward artists like Talib Kweli. It's not always a whole lot of us, so I was kind of expecting that. But it's just shit that comes with being at events, especially events in the culture, with a lot of white people. It drives me nuts. One, I don't understand this, like the sense of entitlement. Like they don't. Let me talk directly. I'm just, you know, you can answer the questions if you can. What is it that you don't understand about lines? Why is it that you can see a bunch of people in a single file standing one behind the other outside of a door, and it doesn't compute to you that this is a line to get into that place, and that I can't just walk? If there are all these people standing waiting to get in, me just walking in is the most obnoxious fucking thing I could possibly do. And then why, when I walk in and somebody checks me on it, do I be like, oh, I didn't know? It's a, what do you think we're doing? Like, we're not, this is not a cipher. We're not huddled up. We're not in a circle. We one behind each other. The person in the back can't talk to the person in the front. The fuck did you think this was? It just immediately started to irritate me. Then there was the people, you know, that they got in line because there was a line. They didn't know who Talib Kweli was. They didn't know who he was. It was literally ladies in the line Googling Talib Kweli. They were having conversations with people, and somebody would eventually tell them, you know, it was Talib Kweli that was performing that night. They would do the thing like straight off the blast, like trying to figure out how to spell the name or how to pronounce. How do you say that? Kweli? You know, it was almost hilarious. And they would try to Google him. And I'm sure they were putting a cue or something in there somewhere so they wasn't getting what they were looking for. And they were still asking people who this guy was. And again, like, just my levels of pestivity was just growing. If you ask the white person who Talib Kweli was, I don't even know what the reference was, but all I know is that the only way they seemed to be able to explain to one another who Talib Kweli was to say something about Kanye West. like, can we leave Ye out of this? Ye has nothing to do with this. Ye is not the reason this man is a legend. And I'm pretty much, I told myself I was never going to talk about him again, but here I am. And so all that happened. And then we finally get into the thing, finally get into the place. It was real. Shouts to Talib for doing it, because it was to support a certain charity. And I think the charity like helps people with mental health issues and people who are kind of down on their luck and need help, you know, with certain things. And so everything was for charity. And then this was a super small room. It couldn't have been no more than 100 people in there. And just, you know, for somebody his caliber to come to Austin at a time like this to do a charity show in a small room, it was super dope. I never been, like, I was having, some questionable masculinity moments because I was super excited to be that close to Talib. I'd never been as close as I was to him before. I've seen him perform, you know, a couple of different times. But yeah, man, it was a dope time. Again, like, I didn't understand what was going on when folks started dancing. Like, I still don't get it. I don't understand what beat, you hear that I don't hear. And it's so like distracting because I'll be sitting there. All I do is a two-step, and that's all you got to do. Like, you could really simplify. You don't have to go to the links that you go to dance. But if that's how you enjoy yourself, fuck it. But, you know, a two-step works, and you just got to find the beat. But I'm sitting there doing my two-step or doing a head nod or something, and, like, one of them catches my eye, and they so on another beat that it throws me the fuck off. And then I got to, like, try to get back. Hold on. Am I doing their beat? Am I doing his beat? And even the beat that the rhythm that you're dancing to is irregular. Like, it's not even a beat. Like, it just keeps changing tempos, everything. Like, what? I didn't get it. Psychedelics have to be involved. Like, I didn't understand it at all. And then, I don't know what it is about me, but so many of them in the midst of these little fits that they throw in that I guess they call it dancing, they will look to me for, like, approval or for, like, you know, like, yeah, like, I think one guy said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just having fun. I'm like, okay, my nigga, like, have fun. I didn't need to be included in your fun. I don't want to be included in the fun. Your fun is actually throwing off my fun. So keep your fun all the way over there. We don't have to talk. We can go to bathroom stall rules, eyes forward, do you, you know. But for some reason, you know, I'm that kind of thing. I'm that kind of guy. But I don't know. The other thing that bothered me, and this, let me do this. Hopefully the right one comes up. I need to confess some things. I'm going to talk directly. Can I get close? Ladies, I want to say this. To the ladies at the party who may or may not have been flirting with me. I know you know, one particular young lady asked for a dance and I kind of gave her the, you know. I'm not gay. I'm just super shy. And that's tough to admit at like 40. I feel like the 40-year-old virgin. Like, I have no idea how to communicate and interact with women, and drives me nuts. And I'm there and I see you. Like, it was Talib was the DJ, but these ladies in the front was putting on the show. Like, they was worth the cost of the price of admission. And we was exchanging glances and exchanging eyes and stuff like that. And it's not that I'm not interested. It's not that like I said, I'm not on the same team with you. Like, it's none of that. I'm just, like, super shy. And it definitely bothers me. You know, I know that there are people around me now who probably get the wrong idea, get mixed signals. Let me say this to you. If you send me a message and it takes me multiple days to respond to you, again, it's not because I'm disinterested. It's not because, you know, I'm rude or, you know, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I saw the notification that you sent me the message. It's going to take me, I don't know, 12 to 24 hours to work up the courage to read the message. You know, I probably had a panic attack the moment I saw the name pop up. Like, oh, shit, you know, she sent me a message. What could it be? So then after that time goes by where I actually work up the nerve to check the message, now I have to, because we do all this stuff via text and stuff like that, now I got to figure out the perfect response. That may take me another 12 to 24 hours. Now we're talking about possibly 24 to 48 hours before you get a response back from me. And it's not because I don't care. It's because I care too much. I care too much. That's what it is. And I needed to get that off my chest. And you know, I'm sure the ladies that were at that show last night do not listen to this podcast, but if you do, I apologize. It's not, if I came off, you know, as unapproachable or, you know, if I made you feel rejected in any way, wasn't my intent. On the flip side, I don't even really know if you were flirting with me or not. You could have been worried that I was going to shoot the place up. I know how I am. I was wearing a hoodie, kept my hands in my pocket the whole night. Even when I'm having fun, I have a fairly stern face. I can't look like I'm having fun. That's not manly. So yeah, it could have been either one of those things. I don't know. But that was my week. No real point to this episode. I'm just talking through some stuff, admitting some stuff. I think we need to do more of this. We need to, you know, be you. Like, if one thing has kind of caught my eye lately in terms of, like, my interaction with people is that, you know, because of social media, because of, you know, this post culture where you get to post something or you get to tweet something, people seem to work very hard at, like, perfect post, perfect tweet, portraying a specific image. And that's not necessary. Like, you know, like, be you. Because once you can be cool with who you are and be who you are at all times, you offer the world something that they can't get anywhere else, and something that they desperately need, something the world desperately needs. And I know the world needs it, because, you know, I don't subscribe to the idea that God wastes time and energy creating unnecessary things. So, you know, you were created with a purpose, and you were created specifically as you are, you know, so be you. And the other thing is, I don't trust people who don't have vices. If I'm around you, you know, for long enough, and everything you think and say and do is positive, and you don't have no fears, and you don't have no, you know, addictions, whatever it is, like, nothing wrong with you, and you just a great person all the time, then I don't trust you. You lying to me, because everybody got something. You know, and I'd rather you be comfortable. I do this stuff. I have these racial conversations with people. I have these open and vulnerable conversations with people, because I want folks to feel comfortable enough around me to let that shit out. I don't want it to surprise me at some point. I don't want to think I got an ally and I don't, because all you do is show me the good face. Let's talk about the bullshit. And with that said, let's talk about this guy. This. Guess the ethnicity. I can say it. I know I can. Let's go back to it. Let's talk about this guess the ethnicity. So we're going back to the story. We got the man in the stretchy pants, sweatpants. Hey, no, I'm not gonna do it. Man in the sweatpants, that went and shoplifted a $1,300 crossbow, stuffing it down his pants and limping away on a crutch. Got out the store. Looks like he's gonna face a felony charge for the theft. He has two other prior felonies. Like I said, I don't have any sentencing or consequence information on this. They found him. He did make it out of the store, but they found him because he was on camera stuffing the thing down his pants. Once again, wearing sweatpants. That was his plan. I'm gonna come in the store with sweatpants and a crutch, and I'm gonna stuff a large weapon down my pants and walk out with it, and it's going to be cool. That's my plan. That's his plan. So I give you a second to come to your final conclusions on the ethnicity of the perpetrator of this crime. Not a full minute. I think that's enough. Here we go. So Darren Durant, 46-year-old man from Brevard County, Florida. It's always Florida. What's going on with Florida? What's going on down there? What's happening? This is the guy with the sweatpants and the crossbow. He do look like the kind of person that would want to steal a crossbow. Crossbow is a very specific item to want to steal. I'm pretty sure there were smaller items in there for maybe not other $1,300 items that you could just get your hands on without somebody having to open a case or some shit like that. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I shouldn't be digging too deep into trying to understand the mentality behind this crime, but there you have it, Darren Durant. And if you can't tell, I just realized, you know, if I'm doing the audio show where you don't see the picture, you can't tell. But this individual definitely looks white. Darren Durant, you wouldn't know. It's like two different black names put together. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. Darren Durant, that is your guess the ethnicity criminal for the week. So with that said, I appreciate you guys hanging out with me for another show. Sorry that this one was late. Trying to work on, you know, making things smoother, getting some of these processes down. I had the audio process down to a T, and video to it is an extra level of complexity. But again, I appreciate everyone. Let me do my quick calls to action. Zaya Fitness, my buddy that I always talk about, he can get you right with your fitness and nutrition goals. You can hit him up at livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. I say he can get your meal plans, your nutrition, your exercise or fitness goals. It can help you with all of that. So hit him up, livealphafitness.com. It is still hoodie season. Should be coming to a close pretty soon here. But as it stands right now, coupon code HOODIESZN, hoodie season, we get you 20% off your entire order at whatistws.com. You got dope hoodies. Is there anything wrong with, is it something narcissistic about me wearing a shirt with my name on it? Fuck it, though. It's what I do. But yeah, you can get one. You can get any of the other hoodies. You can get this blanket. You can get this dopeness mug. You can get all that 20% off coupon code hoodie season. Hit up the store. Help me get more soccer gear for Chef Elise. But with that said, you know, appreciate you guys once again. Please subscribe. Check out the YouTube, you know, page if you haven't seen the video version of the podcast. I also have short snippet clips from some of our old episodes. If you want to go back and reminisce or catch some of the jokes you didn't catch before, feel free to do so. Check out the YouTube page. Subscribe to the podcast if you're not already. Leave me a review, a rating. If you like what you heard. If you didn't, you can also do those things. Give me some constructive criticism, somebody to hate. But yeah, until we speak again, be safe, be the light, and be easy. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.